call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, still trying to reconcile with his wife. Same story, same effort, same husband. I'm just, you know, I have those two issues. One, I'm a follower of Christ, so I'm doing as Christ commands. And two, I like you. I think you're cute. My love for you is overwhelming. And I'm not giving up. Several things. I did send a card to Zadok today, and to Walter's card went out Saturday. But as I was going out to the mailbox, I found that apparently I didn't put the flag up on the mailbox Saturday, so Walter's card was there. So they should both arrive together. But when they arrive, there'll also be the DVDs that were sent out Saturday that I guess is now gone today. I hope. I haven't checked the mailbox. But anyway, so three sets of DVDs went out today also. Sunday morning, I got a phone call from Chris, and he said, let's go to Benton Falls. I mean, that wasn't the plan. And it was kind of like, okay. And we went. So, you know, spur of the moment thing, at least for me. It was about a 5 hour hike, between 5 and 6 hours. It was a lot faster because that was the third time we've done that. And I checked because we've done it, you know, once I got back, I wanted to make sure because my recollection is we've done it twice before, once up to the falls and once we went further all the way up to the lake at the top. So the first time was like 8 miles. This time was like 12. But in the process of doing that, to verify that, a couple things happened. One, in verifying that, I watched the video that I did after the first time we hiked. And in the video, because of the circumstances then, it was in reference to trying to reconcile with Jim Cross. And so I'll make sure the link is there for that because I thought it was, you know, I'm basically on the same page. And that was, what year was that? 2017? Yeah, it was June of 2017 that we did this. So it's been a while, and I'm still trying to reconcile with Jim Cross. And his technique has remained the same. Comes to the table and disappears. Which I find very unfortunate. Real quick, since I just hung up the phone, I also noticed that I did on Saturday, because I was sitting here Saturday saying, I really intensely wanted to hug my wife. So I did send her a text message, which I'm assuming was blocked. But either way, it did say, I so much want to hug you. I love you. So there's a record of that now. But so we did this, and a couple things happened. One was, it was fascinating because on our second trip, we took a little side trail at one point and saw where somebody did grabbed a pile up a bunch of stones, and on the top of it, with two sticks and a band, made a cross on the top. So my thought was, what they did was the Ebenezer. From it's 1 Samuel 7. So because, you know, obviously we did that at MetaView. I've seen that other places. So that was my assumption was done here. Well, when we went Saturday or Sunday, yesterday, walked by that, just decided, okay, I got to go check. Went by the same place because it was just a short bit off our main hike. And there was the pile of stones. And it looked pretty clear. Somebody pushed it over. So, you know, the intent behind that, I don't know. But I looked around, and not too far away was the cross with the band around it. So you can see on the pictures, I put the cross back up. So it's not as tall. The pile's not as tall because I didn't rebuild that. But the cross is back up where it was. And, you know, I just, it, I felt kind of, there's a bond somehow from an individual, a small group of people from years ago. So I just, that was kind of neat. So the picture's there online. You may recall when we were in Straw Hill Church, one year we had that huge noise for, I forget, it was a couple of days, of the cicadas. You know, they're chirping and making all sorts of noise. Well, when we're on the hike, we heard it. It was really loud. And at one point, I did do a video of it. The sound is only fair from that, but it, I did a video, and you can hear it in the background. The noise, which was I found more than interesting, and I do have my silly picture, you know, I'm pointing somewhere, which I told our friend Rob, the guy we hiked with to Frozenhead, told him about it. He went and looked at the pictures and looked at the videos and whatnot, and asked about, what was I pointing to? You know, and it wasn't pointing to anything. Oh, you know, I was pointing out in the middle of the lake just so I'd have that pointing picture, because that's become kind of a silly tradition. But anyway, all that to say is that we did go and make the hike. We both noticed, we were a whole bunch faster than before. So for both of us, our health is much better than it was years ago. So we've improved health-wise. We enjoyed the hike. We had some real good theology conversations. There was the Ebenezer thing, and so that was good. And this morning I checked. You may recall, because shortly after we went to Big Frog, which was just over 2 weeks ago, another gentleman went to hike to the Buzzard Point area that we've been to. And, you know, you may recall, because when we were at the top of Buzzard Point, it was kind of like you get to the Buzzard Point. You get to actually that point. You're at a rock, you know, a rock, big rock. And you're standing on this big rock. And if you go to the edge of it, it's well over 100 feet straight down. And it was kind of like, no, I'm not going to the edge. But this other gentleman from North Carolina went there with his dog. And, you know, wasn't heard from for, I think, 4 days until they found his dog, because he went there alone with his dog. And apparently Saturday, I'd only found out this morning, but Saturday they found his body. He's dead. So what happened is still unclear. But it is a reminder, because Big Frog was a good bit more dangerous than the Benton Falls. But there were some points at Benton Falls where it's kind of like the trail was wider. So I didn't have to get that close. But, you know, it's kind of like that's a drop. It's kind of like, ah. So, you know, I'm just wondering about that, because I really find that I'm just not good at the edges. But, you know, I lament for this guy, obviously. It is a reminder. There are joys in life. And sometimes joys require you do very significant or potentially dangerous things. And sometimes the Lord said, great, you've done that. That's enough. And, you know, you breathe your last. Just also on that, also my friend Rob, who we did the hike with, he's done some videos, you know, of some of the hikes that he's done. And some of them he has some interesting panning of the camera and things of that nature, or zoom effects. And so when we were at this time we went to Benton Falls, we went to the bottom again, at the bottom of the falls, and I do have some pictures and a short video of that from the bottom watching. And there was a whole lot more water coming down this time. But we also went to the top of the falls. And it was kind of like, okay, there are the falls about 10 feet away. That's close enough for me. But I do have a picture of me about, you know, near the edge of the falls. Anyway, but also took a picture, because a little further back, there's the you know, the river flowing, And it wraps through some rocks and whatnot. And it's only a few feet wide or less. And just through that, it doesn't seem like much, but it produces that huge gush going over the cliff, which is amazing. So I did a video where I panned so you can watch, watch the flow of the rock as it weaves through and goes to the edge. I didn't get to the edge, but anyway, I found it. It was fascinating. So one other thing, a lot of things are collapsing with the COVID stuff. I guess it's, you know, things like Texas, where the death rate has dropped to zero, and people are saying, oh no, they got rid of the mask, they fully opened the state and whatnot. People are going to be dying like flies. So the death rate dropped to zero, and it's kind of like, so some of the things are collapsing, including a lot of people. It's starting to collapse a bit, but I think the issue is there's so much invested in it that it won't collapse, which I find unfortunate, because you know, you can't go and say, well, no, I was wrong. People don't want to say that. But I found it, you know, I haven't been there, but the country of Tanzania had a president who died, and I think, if I recall, I haven't checked in a while, but I remember hearing about his death because it was kind of mysterious circumstances, I think. That may not be true, but I think it was. Because one of the things he was known for is he did a number of things, tested a number of things with the PCR test to determine whether or not these things had COVID-19. And he apparently found a fruit, tested it, and it had COVID-19 according to the test. And part of his point was, this test is stupid, which is true. And it's been documented over and over again, because the PCR test, one, doesn't detect well for this. A lot of times used for forensics during, you know, on a crime scene. But the idea of testing to determine that this, because it cannot tell the difference between that and a common cold. And then of course they have with the, you know, the cycle count, which was stated, don't go above 32, because it's doubling each time. So a cycle count of 32 is literally a billion times, you know, the magnification, and a cycle count of 40 is a trillion times, and they've been going as high as 42, which is stated even by the guy who developed the test. It's useless, and it's useless to determine a virus. This president of Tanzania tested, you know, various things, found this particular fruit, tested positive for COVID-19. And I wasn't aware of it until today. The name of the fruit is a pawpaw, spelled P-A-W-P-A-W. So, that also obviously brought up Jim Cross. And so put that all together. More information about the fallacy and the importance of reasoning together. Where have I read that before? Anyway, what happens when you're so entrenched in a fallacy, and the evidence is set before you that you're wrong. So many people will, as I pointed to the Denis Rincourt, the Canadian gentleman who expressed how, because people have so much invested in it, they cannot give it up. Is that Jim Cross? I don't know where he stands on the COVID-19 scam, but is his unwillingness to reconcile with me because he has so much invested in not that he won't? If that's true, and there's, you know, it would be consistent with what's happened thus far, that would be more evidence he has no idea what love is. And that's a concern. But then there's, again, there's this idea of repentance. And I think the same thing is true with my wife. Does she have so much invested in the hate that she has shown me that she continues to build up that hate rather than say, no. She fell in love with me. She demonstrated to me for years real love. We have a stack of kids together. And has she invested so much in the abandonment that she's unwilling to say, no, I'm going to go back to the point where there was love? Is pride the thing that's the barrier? And obviously, it's definitely not obedience to Christ that's keeping her away. It's disobedience to Christ that's keeping her away, because clearly there's no love, there's no seeking of reconciliation, and so forth. But anyway, I wanted to let you know about all these things. Hearing about this hiker who died is a reminder that we do serious things and high-risk things. There is something of higher risk that we should all be doing, striving for obedience to Christ, because 2 Timothy 3:12, I think it's the right verse, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not in certain circumstances, it's all. So, are you more interested in marketing, being, having all speak well of you, which, you know, is an idea that is condemned by Christ? Is that your objective? Or is your objective to strive for obedience to Christ? If so, shed the pride, shed the hate, strive for obedience, show it in love, show it in reconciliation. You know, I sent the cards to these two young guys that they obviously went out as a pair today because they didn't go out Saturday. I goofed. And, you know, I have a few pictures that I found of Walter and Zadok, and I have such trouble telling them apart. And they're my sons. Like that Ebenezer that we saw at the top of the mountain, near the top of the mountain, I went out, took a moment to rebuild it. Let's take a moment and rebuild relationships, please. My lady, your husband, the hiker, thus far on the hikes, he's done some dangerous hikes. But the Lord said, you can go home now, afterwards. At least to this home. So I'm still available. And I'm striving to do something far more dangerous than the hikes. I'm striving to be obedient to Christ. Join me. Now, okay, one other thing. You know, I found it fascinating. You know, I have a friend. See, I actually do have friends that I vehemently disagree with. My friend Corey in Utah. And we had a brief exchange today. Because obviously, we both are quite convinced the other person is destined for hell. but we're still friends and show love and respect to each other. He is politically active, and it reminds me of me from years ago, because he just got elected as vice chair of the Constitution Party in Utah. I think just in Salt Lake. Whatever it was. Either a county or the state chapter, whatever it is. So I responded to him because I told him that in 98, I was the representative of the state of North Carolina for the USTP at the time, which is now the Constitution Party. So it's kind of like, you know, another bond, which I found fascinating. And of course, obviously, I wouldn't do that anymore because I have repented from my political activity, because I have a reason why. I found it in Scripture, Deuteronomy 17, 1 Samuel 8. It's kind of blatant, and which is interesting because what comes before 1 Samuel 8, 1 Samuel 7, which is where we get the Ebenezer. So anyway, it's interesting, delightful, and yes, this is long again, but I want to share with my family, and it's here because perhaps one day somebody will find, oh, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. And they maybe find, oh, the dad is trying to reconcile. Why doesn't the mom? Why doesn't the father-in-law? It's a good question. Why? My lady, you have my heart. You can't change that. You have my heart. I love you.